Here it comes. The latest people, trends, and news on sustainable living in and around our corner of the country. Down to Earth with Mrs. Green. Spotlight on the Southwest. And now, Mrs. Green.
Welcome, everyone. You are indeed listening to Down to Earth with Mrs. Green, Spotlight on the Southwest. Thanks for being a part of the show tonight and joining in, listening in with me here. Today is just going to, it's one of those days. I'm sure it's the heat. We appreciate you. We appreciate you being a part of Down to Earth with Mrs. Green and Mrs. Green's World. That's all of you out there listening. My in-studio guests tonight are Colleen Crowninshield, head of the Clean Cities Coalition here in Tucson, Arizona. And I have to say that you probably do win the prize for being on the show the most time since we started.
So I like that.
Welcome back. I mean, you have been a call-in. You've been in the show. You've been on the show. You've been with guests who are also calling in. So thanks for being a part of Mrs. Green's World.
Thank you for having
me. And with us also is Ryan Gurnett, the newest member of the team at PAG under Clean Cities and the Solar Partnership. And Ryan, it's okay if I say young whippersnapper. I have to. I'm trying to bring those old words back because they're such good words. So thank you very much. You're an associate planner for the energy programs.
Thank you. That's correct.
Yes, I'm glad you're here. And you probably help make Colleen's life work. And
absolutely.
Lord knows we all want that to happen. So let's start talking about where you live. And I mean the Clean Cities Coalition under the Pima Association of Governments and what Clean Cities is. Because there are new listeners and there are people that are not familiar with what PAG and Clean Cities is and are and do.
Absolutely. Well, Clean Cities actually is a part of the energy programs at PAG, and it is run through the U.S. Department of Energy with the sole purpose of helping to reduce dependence on petroleum through the use of alternative fuels and alternative fueled vehicles.
And God knows we like that.
Absolutely.
In this day and age, we really, really like that.
Yes.
Okay, so specifically in your role as the coordinator of many programs, tell me what some of the things that you're working are, some of your top things that you want to share with us. Because I go to those Clean Cities Coalition meetings and my head swims.
It's like, as do many people.
My eyes roll back in my head and I'm like, okay.
Sure.
Well, I'm late to the party.
We've got lots of great things going on right now. Some of our biggest projects are our work with Golden Eagle Distributors. And as you know, they are fabulous and they do so many things for our community. But right now, what they are working on is building natural gas fueling stations. They're going to be public-private stations at their facilities. They are going to be 100% natural gas with their vehicles in Tucson, Casa Grande, and then Flagstaff.
How awesome is that?
It's fabulous.
And they're going to let anybody who has a compressed natural gas vehicle
fuel it there.
And I think that's wonderful.
Public-private stations.
And they're having a ceremony, I think, in October because who the big sponsor for Arizona's Greenest Workplace Challenge is for Mrs. Green's World.
I wonder.
Let's hear it for Golden Eagle. I love to ring the bell once in a while.
All right.
So that's one thing.
That's one thing. And then natural gas just seems to be a big theme this year. So we're also working with Pima County. And what we are working on is a project that is not happening anywhere in the United States. And what that is that we are building a natural gas state. Well, first of all, we're going to start with capturing the methane from their wastewater treatment plant.
So you've
heard
unreal.
About landfill gas projects. Well, this is a wastewater treatment plant project. And so we're going to be capturing, we're going to be cleaning to pipeline quality, and then we're going to purchase natural gas vehicles for Pima County. But with the excess renewable natural gas, and that's what this will be, is renewable natural gas, we'll be selling it to other people who want to use natural gas.
Okay, so I have to, since this is a radio show and there are no diagrams, I have to get a visual because I remember when I first started Mrs. Green and I was taking a tour of the Fairfax Company landfills and Jason Tankersley drove me up on one of these little, berms or something. And he said, you have to look just right, but do you see all the gas coming out from under
Absolutely.
The ground? It used to be a dump.
Yep.
And he said, that's methane. And he said, boy, would I love to harness that. I understand that. How do you do it?
Wastewater treatment plant. How do
Give
you
me
do
the
it?
Visual. And how are you capturing the gas that's off gassing and emitting?
And I got to be honest with you, Gina, I'm not sure yet. I mean, this is so new for everybody.
No kidding.
This is extremely new for everybody. So, I mean, I can't think of one person that we've talked to about this project that hasn't went, what? What a concept. So
the world will be watching.
The world will be
watching. The world will be watching.
Absolutely.
So who are the partners?
Right now, it is we're working with Southwest Gas, and they've been fabulous to work with, obviously. And then we've got, of course, Pima County. Duh, that's kind of a... And then we're talking with several for-profit companies, you know, to see what the prospect is of them working with us. And one of those companies would be Trillium, who built the natural gas fueling stations for Golden Eagle.
For Golden Eagle.
We're talking with Clean Energy, which owns the natural gas stations that we have in Tucson right now, the retail stations that we have in Tucson. So we're talking with several entities, and this is a real work in progress.
And you know, you can, when you're Mrs. Green, it can be daunting. There's a lot of bad news out there.
Absolutely.
So being Mrs. Green makes me look for hope, possibility, and change. And this is a new technology that's really exciting. And we'll have to share more about it as it goes along. Because
but could you imagine,
harnessing that? No, I can't.
And think about, about a project that's first of its kind in the nation.
Spotlight on the Southwest.
Hello, here we go. So those are two of the biggest projects. And then obviously we've got October is what we call our Odyssey Month. And every other year we work nationally on Odyssey. And what Odyssey is we work with a company called a school called the National Alternative Fuel Training Consortium, which is out of the West Virginia University. And we simply highlight alternative fuels for that week out of October.
So October, I don't even want to talk about it right
now,
seriously, because it's like Earth Month.
Do you
and
see,
it'll
do
make
you see
his
Ryan,
eyes, Ryan, if there was a
eyes?
Visual, his eyes would be like, okay, it's event month. Everybody put your seatbelt on and go for the ride.
Absolutely.
So to talk about the Clean Cities Coalition, because we will promote this show as much as we can, who would want to be a member? Because it's a membership-driven organization. The last several meetings that I've been to have literally been standing room only.
I know,
so
isn't that great?
It is. It feels
so
really
exciting.
Good. I mean,
it's exciting.
It feels like good growth and a lot of focus, and we hear good things that the school districts are doing, good things that government entities are doing. And one of the things I love the words private, public, or public-private partnerships, and there are a lot of them going on there.
And you hear those words a lot, but to see it
in action.
Is phenomenal. And it's a good feeling, and to not only be a part of that, but to be leading that is just, it's a great feeling.
And you have a company like Golden Eagle that, for people that don't know, they're beer distributors.
Yeah.
So they're driving all day long everywhere, all over the state.
Bush. I mean, just not just any beer.
They're Bud.
The one of the largest in the world.
In the world, and they are doing everything.
Absolutely.
From they're green from the inside out. It's one. They won the first Arizona's Greenest Workplace Challenge, so it was wonderful.
I love that.
So let's look back a little bit. We'll talk about what's coming up in October. What are some of the big accomplishments that you can benchmark from last year, and I mean up to and including now?
In my opinion, our biggest accomplishment has been Golden Eagle. Just, you know, talk from going to a, hey, doesn't this sound like a fun idea, to seeing the trucks rolling in and understanding the amount of petroleum displacement that they will see. It's exciting.
So, and their drivers like it, and the vehicles have fewer breakdowns. I mean, I was really listening to Bill when he talked about that. So I want to talk about one that I thought was one of the weirdest things I'd ever heard of. Welcome to Mrs. Green's World. But I loved it, and I couldn't go. When you and Bookman's did that EV drag racing.
Wasn't that fun?
And when you called me and Bob called me, I was like, what? Drag racing electric vehicles?
Isn't that cool?
A year, an annual thing?
We are making that an annual event. And thank goodness for Bob Oldfather. I mean, what a guy. You
what
know?
A hoot. What a hoot.
And that's a great term for
and
him.
And I said, you want me to come to what? And if you remember, there was a bad storm. And it had to be canceled. One of those freak things. And you had the flu. And I didn't go when it was rescheduled. It was like something like 6 o'clock on a Sunday morning or something. So that's going to be an annual event.
Annual event.
When does that come?
I
think we're in the looking spring of last
I
year.
I think it was in the spring, and I think we're going to be looking at April again for that. So.
And Bob has quite a few electric vehicles, and he's crazy drag racing crazy. I'm not, and so are you. You're crazy.
I am, and boy, I'll tell you, watch Amy Sue, his wife, one time. She loves drag racing now too.
She does.
And you know what? Just to put something in the back of your head, and I hope he's listening to the show.
I'll send him the podcast.
I have a feeling that they might own an electric drag race car in the near future.
Okay, put that tickler out there. I will tweet about it.
I bet they will. Late breaking, you heard it first on Down to Earth with Mrs. Green.
Okay.
I bet they will.
That's crazy, but it was crazy. I'm like, electric vehicles can go that fast. So
and
much
you know,
for
we
that
get
myth.
That. We get that a lot from people, but they're pretty fast. Think about it. It's instant torque. Your foot goes on that pedal, and what does it do?
And a lot
it's
of
like
people come.
It's like flipping a light switch. What happens the minute? Does it take a long time? Does it have to build up? Or when you flip that switch, it comes on.
And you know, this isn't in the script, but I was there when you were traveling at the Mind Drive event. Ryan, were we not there sweating?
Oh, yeah.
It was sweating. And we kept saying, okay, where's some shade? The food was good. I went. I was so glad I did. It's one of those things. This is the last thing in the world I feel like doing. And went to the Mind Drive event. And they are our guests on the show this Saturday.
All right.
We followed up with them because that was kids built an electric vehicle so that people know what the segue was. And I'm not out of my mind. But at-risk kids with mentors, that program just blew me away. Yeah. And as soon as I left, I got on the phone with Kelly and said, we have to get them on the show. Because would to God that program gets emulated and copied around the country. Those kids were so great to talk to and full of mentors.
And think about giving those kids something to look forward to as adults.
And a skill they can use.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's all different kinds of learning, so I love
absolutely,
it.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Let's switch for a minute to the global market or the national scene, because you and I can do that. And Ryan absolutely is following along here. How do you interact with other coalitions throughout the country to share ideas? How many are there? Is there an opportunity to do that? Because I've asked Sheila the same thing about, you know, the Pima Association of Governments. So what is your part in that, and what do they do?
There are about 90 coalitions
scattered
all throughout the United States, and we absolutely work very closely together. And when things work, we tell each other when they work. When they don't work, that's even more important, because, you know, when you're working on an electric vehicle project and you fall into a glitch and you know somebody else is going to be doing it in 2 weeks, the last thing you want to do is let them find out about that glitch the hard way.
Yeah. So we share the information.
Absolutely. We share the information. We work very closely together. And then once a year, we are allowed to do what's called a peer exchange. The Department of Energy will gather all the coordinators in one place at one time. It's only once a year. And I have to tell you, it's your federal dollars hard at work.
Sharing best practices.
Hard at work. Not just sharing, but we work on national projects, sort of like the Christmas tree project. Do you remember when we worked on the national Christmas tree?
Yep, I do.
Do you remember when we greened the Super Bowl? I mean, these are all things that happen throughout the United States. We might as well join hands, work together, and get it done.
You cooperate a lot, because frequently I go to things, it seems like frequently, where they're passing through Tucson, and that's one of the stops, and other coalition members are helping them along the way.
Absolutely.
I wish I had known about that sooner. I was so glad that I went, but it's one example of connecting.
Absolutely.
Where Clean Cities, they called you. And when the kids went around the country, what's their names? I had them on the show too, that had the biodiesel.
Oh, when they went, oh, okay. So you're going to love this. Are you talking about the,
you had a reception at Bookman's.
Oh my goodness. And I'm trying to think, it's the book.
It'll
the
come
Guinness
back
book.
To us. Yes.
Guinness
the
book
Guinness
of
Book of
World
Records.
Records.
Yes.
And it was Driven to Sustain.
Yes, that's right.
And they are going to be working on this again. So we will have a chance to see them in Tucson again.
Great, great hope. And that was another event that helped
Absolutely.
To connect the dots.
Absolutely.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about, it's such a timely and really painful subject for our country right now, is the drought. And whether you're a believer in corn as ethanol or not, I don't really want to get into that on the show.
We
but
don't need
it's,
to. It's, we,
it's
still
the
a,
impact
absolutely.
With all of the fields literally drying up. I mean, it's a big topic of conversation in the things that I subscribe to with the drought.
It
and
is.
So is it going to impact the production of ethanol.
It will definitely impact the
production. How could it not?
How could it not? But the other thing that I want your listeners to understand is that if you are a coalition working on ethanol in any way, shape, or form, you have to be working, you don't have to be, but I hope you're working with your local universities on better feedstocks for ethanol as well. And we in Tucson are working with Pinal Energy, which is our ethanol manufacturing facility, and the University of Arizona on sweet sorghum ethanol.
Awesome.
So, you know, I think that it's really important to support the alternative fuels that we have, but as well, it's really important to support the research into better feedstocks for these alternative fuels as well. But the drought will definitely impact ethanol.
I mean, it's burning. It's really kind of scary what's happening. And I think we've only just begun. I hope not, it seems like we got a drought here, guys.
If you look at nationally, Gina, I'm with you. I think we've only just begun, and that's a sad statement, but I do think you're right.
It is a sad statement. So if you have interaction with all these people around the country, mm-hmm. and we've talked about many of the kinds of alternative vehicles. There's compressed natural gas, and there's electric vehicle, and there's ethanol, and there's diesel, there's clean burning diesel, there's biodiesel.
Straight vegetable oil, there's propane.
Which we do not encourage. Do not replicate this in your own home. You have to know what you're doing in order to use vegetable oil.
But I have to tell you, that is growing so fast. I can't tell you the amount of people that are Googling SVO conversions or straight vegetable oil SVO conversions.
And it can be done. If you have that kind of brain, you can do it, and it's not complicated, but you have to do it right.
Do it right.
And, you know, I was listening. It was very timely for me as I was driving around town today in my clean burning TDI Jetta from Chapman. Okay, a little shout out for them. Great gas mileage. There was a scientist. They had a panel of scientists. It was the Diana Rehm show. Mm-hmm. And she talked about this one scientist said, everybody's looking for the silver bullet, and there isn't one. And Paul Bonavie has been on and said that in terms of fuel supplies for our homes. But what this guy said, he was talking about electric vehicles, which seems like such a great alternative. And he said, think about this. If everybody in China today got an electric vehicle and flipped the switch, we can't do it. All it would cause is more fossil fuel to be burned. So we have to look at everything, which was, I think, one of your major points.
Absolutely.
There are lots of, I know we're talking about Golden Eagle. We should call it the Golden Child for this show. But they really researched. They had a lot to lose.
They did.
And a lot to gain.
Absolutely.
They partnered with Ryder, and I've listened. I mean, they really did their homework, and they picked.
And they partnered with us right
in the beginning.
And if you talk to Bill Osteen, he will tell you out there, and I know you have listeners outside of Arizona, he will tell you, if you are looking at alternative fuels in any way, shape, or form, find your Clean Cities Coalition, because we can help you to look at your fleet as a whole and really decide what's best for you. Compressed natural gas is not the best alternative for everybody.
For everyone. It's like, what kind of car is the best to drive? Well, there's not an answer for that either. For me, in the city driving, I wrote on my Facebook page when we went to San Diego, $37 is what it costs us to drive from here to San Diego. That's how much the gas costs because we get that great mileage.
So I want to go home soon. Can I borrow your car? No,
yeah. If you're a farmer, you don't want a clean Jetta TDI. No. You have to have a truck and a higher, you know, clearance vehicle. So you really have to research. And when I had somebody on the show, I said, what is the best car to drive? And he said, do your homework. Same thing. Research it. See what's best for you.
Absolutely.
And I didn't know until I interviewed this woman named Kelly King from Pacific Biodiesel in Maui.
Absolutely.
And she said, you can't use biodiesel everywhere. It reacts to the extreme cold temperatures. So it's not the silver bullet either. It seemed like such a great idea. You just go pick all this stuff up and it's feedstock and you put it in the cooker. And now we are all big one happy biodiesel family. It doesn't work that way.
It doesn't
work that way.
And I just want to leave one more shout out here because we're talking about cars. I actually, my truck that I run ethanol, and my truck was being serviced, and I actually got to drive a 2012 Chevy Malibu from O'Reilly, and it's not an alternative fuel. It's called EcoBoost.
I've seen that when I'm at red lights.
Gina, wow. And that's all I can say. Wow. It was phenomenal. So I encourage people to learn about EcoBoost, the new technology that I think every major auto manufacturer is in some shape or form looking at EcoBoost. But wow.
It's really awesome to see all of the new technology. It's one of those, again, hope, possibility, and change. Now, before we forget, let's put in a shout out for your website and how people can reach you. And if someone's listening and wants to become a member of the coalition, what's the best contact information?
Okay, so to get us on a website, you go to www.pagnet.org. If you want to call me, which I love, just pick up the phone and call me. It's 520-792-1093. If you want to email me, it's ccrowninshield@pagnet.org.
And the easiest thing for people to do is remember they can always ask me, Gina and Mrs. Green's World.
Mrs. Green's World.
And I will connect
There's always a link. I will connect the big green dots.
And
absolutely.
You're prominently displayed in many places for the PAG partnership that I have learned so much from having PAG as a partner, not just about Clean Cities, but about the other incredible programs. And I like that you said there is really a good use of tax dollars in many cases. And
Absolutely.
There are glowing examples to me at PAG. Now, I'm not sure how much time we have left because time does fly when you're having fun. So, Ryan, can we just talk a little bit about your role? We have about 8 minutes left, but I just want people to know you're here and what you're doing in terms of, I think one of the most interesting things to me, being Mrs. Green and putting my toe in a lot of water, is the standards board, because you talked about you're doing a first with capturing methane from wastewater. We're going to have a show on that where we'll get some of the experts on how you're going to capture methane from a water treatment facility. It's all good. I believe you. But Ryan, another thing that I think is outstanding example of PAG and its leadership and the Clean Cities Coalition and solar is the standards board. So can you talk a little bit about that, because you're involved in that?
Correct. Yeah, the Standards Board is a group of local solar installers who have come together and formed this body that will peer review each other and make sure they're using the best practices for installation and service to make sure that, you know, the solar as a technology gets a good name, because if it's not installed properly and not functioning, it can, you know, tarnish the whole industry in the region.
And it's one of those old rumors that just won't die about, oh yeah, I got solar 20 years ago. Well, you know, we used to use horse and buggies too. So let's get on with the program. Solar has come so far. So it's a peer driven.
Definitely.
Love that.
Yeah, and they get together and we're sponsoring workshops so they can do their continuing education and, you know, learn about the cutting edge technologies that are going on and make sure that their installers are fully educated. And the big thing right now on solar is just the cost of the installation has gone, you know, down significantly, and I don't think the public is aware of how affordable solar is becoming.
And leasing. I used to think leasing was a dirty word and people ripped you off. I got educated on that. Kevin Cook sat down with us. Leasing is such a viable alternative. You can literally, like in this house, and we haven't done it yet, but replace what we're paying every month for electricity for our lease, and we're going to be using solar. I mean, it's so, so doable now. And even 5 years ago, it wasn't when I started Mrs. Green.
Well, they've come up with a lot of different ways of financing solar, and leasing is great for people who don't have a lot of money to put down on a system, and that's understandable. You know, in the long term, you're better off owning if you can, but it's a way for, you know, regular people to get in and see savings from day one.
And you see, I love to see it on more houses, and a lot of there's a very active Interfaith Council. They're doing churches. I mean, you walk around and you see the faith-based organizations are getting on board, and that will move mountains. That's a really good thing. Now, how do you guys, you have to probably walk the fine line, and you do, about you cannot lobby, but this has to stay clean with these groups of people. Is that ever a challenge? We talk about anything
Absolutely.
On Mrs. Green's
it's,
World.
It's
I'm sure they
a
want
challenge.
You to do things that you can't because you'll get in a lot of trouble.
Absolutely. And it's a challenge, but you know, what we pride ourselves on is the education component of the energy programs. And, you know, if we stick to that component and really educate people, then the lobbying can be done by the experts. We don't have to go that route. But, you know, the education side of things is extremely important. And that's what we stick to, is just educating people.
And your number one piece of advice, I believe, would be if you're considering solar, really do your homework.
Do your homework.
Find out who's got the great reputation. Well, ask for references.
And that's what we do with the Solar Standards Board is that, you know, we ensure that these companies are following those very best practices in both, you know, financing or the dollar side of things. You know, we ask for their marketing strategies. We want to see that they're staying within those best practices, and those are the only companies we promote on that website.
And they're really, to me, outstanding examples of, again, it's the public-private partnership, and you're creating the venue for conversation.
Absolutely.
Which I really respect. And those guys, they're up working with the Corporation Commission, mm-hmm. because they can. They're
That's
privately
right.
owned.
Absolutely.
They don't have to worry about anything. So they're creating the standards and then advocating for the use of solar, because
Absolutely.
It truly is the most renewable energy source, especially
right.
how many days have we had over 100 here? I really don't like whining on Mrs. Green's World, so I better be quiet. I am the one that wants to whine. It's like, it's so hot. We're ready for a break. It's really hot
well,
here.
There, and there's no reason why we don't, you know, why every house shouldn't have solar on
it's
top.
It's in here. I mean, yeah. especially in Tucson, and every school and university and every major company, yeah. it would really help make an impact for the planet.
And Ryan and I have kind of made it our personal goal. I tell you, before I leave and Ryan takes over, which I'm hoping one day that
Tomorrow.
Happens.
If she wins the lottery.
If I win the lottery. you know, that's our goal. We'd like to really see a significant impact that we've made with seeing how many houses and businesses here we'll have solar on.
And TEP takes a leadership role.
Absolutely.
They're a utility company. They take a major, innovative, creative, strong leadership role
yes.
to get solar on as many houses and buildings. And
they work with us.
They are good partners in this
they
community.
Are.
They're good stewards of the community. So I cannot believe that I'm saying this. It's the middle of August. We are going to blink, and I'm going to be saying to everybody, well, have Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays. It's December. Yeah, pray to God. Fall comes. But what do you have? October is a big month, you mentioned. It gives you both,
huge.
I know, probably the hives. But one of the big
the
events
hives.
Is the event at the Odyssey Fuel at the high school, the grad
Project
night.
Project Grad Extreme Car Show.
And when is that? I've been to it. They're car show nuts, man.
October 20th.
October 20th. It'll be up on Mrs. Green's World.
And boy, the cars that we're going to have out there.
Hundreds.
Yeah. And we're really trying to get some really innovative, really cool all-fuel vehicles there as well.
Okay, so. And then Doug Fine, who I have heard speak, he's crazy,
An
wacky
evening
Doug,
with
Fine.
Doug Fine.
An Evening with Doug Fine. This guy is a tool. I mean, he's a crack up.
He
really makes
he
me laugh. He's coming back,
October
and he lives
18th.
Off the grid. He really made me laugh.
Completely
I mean, he's got
off the grid.
Goats on his table.
And he'll be driving goats. Here in his straight vegetable oil truck.
He's
fabulous.
He's off the grid. He's off the wall, too.
He is.
That what date is that?
That is October 18th. And
where is the venue this year?
To be determined. We're still working on that.
Yeah,
so.
It's big. It's because October is such a busy month, and there are so many things going on.
And
I know
people
that.
People can just look at your website, follow Mrs. Green's World website, and I'm sure that you'll have information on where that will be as well.
And just as a reminder to both of you and to your team and to anybody that's listening, we have an events page. We try to get it to be built up. It's been really slow over the summer, where people can post their information on their events for free. It's a short form. You can put pictures up. So where you can hear the little music telling us it. Mrs. Green, Down to Earth is about to come to a close. So thank you for joining us, Colleen Crown and Shield and Ryan Gurnett from the Clean Cities Coalition. Time does indeed fly when you're having fun. Check us out at MrsGreensWorld.com if you missed anything or if you have any questions. Make it a great green week.